For many high school seniors and their parents, April is the time to pick a college or university to attend. One big factor, that financial aid reward letter from the schools accepting your senior. These can be complicated documents that are hard to decipher. I spoke with Lisa Maselli, Director of College Counseling at University Laboratory High School in Urbana, about what to look for in these financial aid reward letters.
First of all, they have to really understand what the full cost of attendance is at a school, which can be misleading because a major could have a different cost associated. You're an art student and you have supplies. Mm-hmm. Books could cost differently. Your transportation, if you're an out-of-state student, could cost differently. So making sure that when they get that award letter, they truly understand what the cost of attendance is to go to that school. Then typically in award letter, you'll see things that are more, I would say, direct cost to the student, which is the tuition to go to that school and the room and board, which is a direct cost. And then the indirect costs, which means are there things like health insurance, fees, things like that you have to pay. So when the award letters come back, it's really important for a family to sit down and figure out, okay, now that they have the cost of attendance, we understand it. Now they have my expected family contribution from all these forms I've filled out. What exactly is my out-of-pocket expense? Mm-hmm. And colleges can kind of help you with that out-of-pocket expense, whether it's through free money, which most parents want.
Oh, sure.
The gift money, the scholarships, the grants, which can come from federal and state aid, or it can come from the college itself. And then there's going to be that self-help aid, which is more loans, college work study, maybe even scholarships that you bring to the table. So it very much is important that families understand cost of attendance for each school and the out-of-pocket expense for them for each school.
All right. So as you're trying to decipher all of that, some of that aid comes with some requirements attached to it.
Yes, absolutely. I think when you get an award letter and you do see that the school itself gave you a scholarship, find out exactly what the requirements are to keep that. There could be a GPA expectation, a volunteerism or leadership expectation. You might have to sign up for a certain amount of hours to maintain that. And I always tell students and families, what if you did get a scholarship because you declared a major and then you switch? You're young. What if you switch out of that major? So make sure you find out truly what are the requirements to keep it. Is that a scholarship that was just for freshman year to maybe entice you to come? And then it's not continued sophomore, junior, senior year. So it really is important to understand, is it renewable? How do I maintain it? What are the criteria involved? And what if I grow and change and I don't meet those criteria anymore? So being a detective at this time is really important.
Where does college work study fit into this equation?
Yeah, college work study is considered the self-help aid because you are working to earn that money, but you do need to have a financial need to qualify for it. And the important things to find out about college work study is how readily available are those jobs. So let's say that you were awarded that and you're expected to earn $3,000 in a school year. I have had alums call me and they can't find the job because the college work study jobs were exhausted. So you do have to find out how readily available are they? What if you literally cannot find a job through college work study? Will the college potentially replace that college work study amount with a scholarship or a grant or even a loan? Or how many hours do you have to work to earn that money? So asking all those questions is important.
There's a phrase that I see here that is a new one to me.
Okay.
A college gapping in their package.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes. Well, what that means is you have the cost of attendance, how much truly it will cost to be a student on that campus. That includes even the student budget, everything from the, you know, incidental things. If you truly are going to live in a dorm, what do you need as far as supplies, everything? So the cost of attendance is the whole package to live, breathe, work, study, be a student. Then when they take that family contribution away, so now they've done all of your federal institutional methodologies to come up with what is your ability to pay, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
So they take cost of attendance minus that ability to pay, and then you have need. So colleges can say, wow, you have a financial need of, let's say, $20,000, mm-hmm. and the cost of attendance to go to that school is $58,000. They may give you $12,000. Well, your need was $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now the family is sitting there with $8,000 of unmet need. That's called gapping. So they truly didn't meet your full need. They've given you something, but what do you do as a family when you didn't realize there was going to be this $8,000 gap laying there? And sadly, that's happening more often. And those are often filled in for parents with a PLUS loan, which mm-hmm. means it's in the parent's name with a higher interest rate. So it's important to find out, and even for your listeners who are in younger stages of this, find out if a school meets 100% need.
Other things to keep in mind, residency, of course. You're talking in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition. How do you establish residency to get those rates?
Yes, and that's why it's important if you are looking at public schools out-of-state. Every state has different residency requirements. So what that means is you could possibly say, okay, I'm going to go out of state. They're charging me out of state tuition. Families will often say, but what if my student stays there and works in the summer, gets a driver's license, pays taxes, has a lease? Sometimes states will actually then call you an in-state resident. So it's important to ask those questions.
And another thing to keep in mind, some schools offer some payment plans that can help make things easier as well.
Yeah, I think the thing I want families to understand is don't be afraid when you get that package. And if all of a sudden that reaction is, what? How did they come up with this? You need to never be afraid to call the financial aid office and talk with them. Because first of all, the numbers that are used to crunch that expected family contribution or the ability to pay is one snapshot of your financial picture. Things change. You could have an elderly parent move into your house and all of a sudden you've got more expenses. So if all of a sudden you get that letter and you realize this makes no sense, we can't make it happen, never be afraid to call. Never be afraid to talk with admissions. Never be afraid to figure out if you do have the bottom line figured out with that college, possibly after you've appealed or you've said, can we talk about this and see if we can kind of work a little bit more? I have new information to disclose. Payment plans may actually be an opportunity for you.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about today is with the budget impasse that's going on, it's in starting its ninth month now. As you have your seniors who are making those college decisions, are you seeing the situation here in the state having an impact on their college decisions?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I was reading through, you know, news articles in the News Gazette. And just recently, Governor Rauner was at Leroy High School. I think
yes.
I say it wrong. I'm sorry. And just seeing the interview in the News Gazette with those two students who picked out-of-state colleges because some of them, for them, University of Illinois was not the most cost effective. So I think that the worry is the neediest students in our state, because the MAP grant that the Illinois Student Assistance Commission has been writing about is so up in the air that literally the fear is wanting to keep our best and the brightest in our state may not actually be the best cost effective choice for the family, which is sad. Because I think there was always an assumption of, oh, of course, the in-state schools will be cheaper. That's not always the case. And private schools have always had more endowment money, more way to kind of package students with need. I mean, the Ivies were known for being the first to go absolutely no loans if you qualify. But when the MAP grant becomes a question and colleges can't promise that that's going to come through, that's making students have to make other choices.
Lisa Maselli is the director of college counseling at University Laboratory High School in Urbana.